Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center. Our prayer is that you'll be encouraged and blessed by the anointed word of God. If you'd like more information about Apostolic Worship Center and its ministries, visit our website at www.awcnorman.com.
One verse of scripture, Jeremiah chapter 8, verse number 20. The 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah has been a conversation going on between the prophet, God, and the people. We'll look at other verses in this 8th chapter as we move forward this morning, but this is a response of the people to the conversation between the prophet and God. He said in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 20, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and this is their conclusion, and is ended." Their concluding remarks are, "And we are not saved." I preached this morning from this subject, end of the year reflection. End of the year reflection. Would you ask the Lord to help us today? Jesus, I'm asking you, Lord, for the next few moments that you would help us in the delivery of the Word of God. We need you, Lord, today to use, God, that which you have placed within us, God, to be able to break the bread of life in such a way today that hearts and lives and souls are touched. And faith, dear God, comes and plants that engrafted word into our heart and doing its greatest work in our soul. We're asking you now for that anointing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, would you lift your hands and your voices to Him? And can we one more time before we're seated, just give the Lord a sound from our soul. A sound of joy, an expression of worship, the sound of praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. I magnify you, Lord. I glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. God bless you. Maybe you can concur. I'm sure you probably can. That life is moving at a very fast pace. Can anybody conclude that life indeed is moving at a fast pace? You know, time is time. Seconds don't change, minutes and hours don't change, but it appears that time is moving ever quicker than it has before, and that time is swiftly passing by. Here we are at the close of 2023. We're at the brink of 2024, and it seems like we was just starting 2023 just maybe a month or two ago. It's just moved so fast and quickly, and the deal with that rapid moving pace is you and I are caught up in it, and we're moving at a very, very fast pace. And the problem is that you and I get swept up in the fast movement of life, and we oftentimes fail to take moments to pause, to stop, and to just kind of ponder where we are. Voices from Scripture tell us that this is not a new thing. It is something that has always existed. Job exclaims that my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, the shuttle that is thrown through the loom, and the weaving of fabric moves at the rapid pace. And Job said, my life appears to be like that weaver's shuttle. He continues that my days are swifter than a post or the runner that is running with a message. My days are running at a very high speed, or my days are as a swift ship that is being swept along by the force of the wind in the open ocean moving at its rapid pace. James will express it this way, that your life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. It's just a quick moment in the large expanse of time. It's here and then it's gone. David would concur, saying that he feels that life is like the grass that grows and the flower that's in the field that flourishes and the wind passes upon it and then it is gone. It's here today and then it passes away. So is the swiftness of our life that we are presently in. The problem with a swift-paced life is we often miss things in the process of living because life moves so rapidly and so quickly. We often miss little gems, little nuggets, little important factors, and we move past them and overlook them because life is moving so fast. We often find ourselves like the disciples who stands at resurrection day, bewildered by the events that took place. And then they were challenged in their memory to remember the words that the Master had spoken concerning this particular occasion. And Scripture says, then they remembered. The fact was, the apostles had become so preoccupied in the moment with other things that they missed the statement of the Master. They had been consumed with who was the greatest. They were consumed with jockeying for position and finding this spot and that spot, and they failed to understand that momentary insight that God was giving to them. They missed their moment and their rapid pace of living. Maybe you and I ought to pray the prayer of Joshua when he stood on that day in battle and he looked up and said, you know, I just need a little more light. Sun, stand still. And some of us would maybe do well to pray, just kind of let things come to a screeching halt for just a moment. I'm missing some things. Just this past week, my wife and I had went away for just 2 or 3 days and did what we do when we go away. We go to malls and thrift stores and then malls. And we were walking along holding hands, and there was a couple little boys that were nearby and a little family that was there. They were little blonde-headed boys, and my wife just mentioned, she said, they remind me of our little boys. And I looked back, and sure enough, those little toe heads were just a shining there in the store. And then she said, you know, she said, I feel like I missed so much. I feel like there were so much that I overlooked. And she said, I wish I could go back. And for just a moment we kind of went back down memory lane and pondered for a little while. She said, I would do things differently. I wouldn't do what I did. Maybe things would be different. And so like that is life. We move. Young parents are caught up in trying to put food on the table. They're caught up in trying to keep homes together and families and bills paid, that oftentimes those childhood years slip by us and it gets away from us. And then finally, when we might think we could slow down a little bit, and we suddenly realize they're grown and I can't pull them onto my lap anymore, and I can't wrap my arms around them like I once did. I still do it, embarrasses them a little bit, but I still do it from time to time. But you know, there's things that we miss because we're in this rapid pace of life, moving constantly. And this is where reflection becomes so vital and so important, because reflection is the process by which we journey into the past and attempt to capture the moments that we miss. Reflection is the place where we go back and we look at experiences in life, and we begin to glean out of those experiences things that we didn't capture while we were there and while we were in the moment. One said it like this, that reflective thinking turns experience into insight, and we do not learn from experience, but rather we learn from reflecting on that particular experience. So reflection becomes important for me to capture what I missed, for me to capture the things that slipped by me, for me to capture the things that happened, but I was in too big of a hurry to squeeze it out at the moment. It's only in reflection when I go back that I glean from that particular moment. But now, reflection requires a particular action on your part and on my part. For reflection to work, reflection has to have a moment of stillness. It has to have a moment of pause. Reflection doesn't work in movement. It only works in pause. Life has to be put on pause. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, hit the pause button. Life has got to be put on pause. If you don't put life on pause, you'll never reflect. And if you never reflect, you'll never glean from the experiences that happened, and you'll never squeeze out the nuggets and the gems that are there and make them applicable to our life. The only way that reflection works is I must pause. Has anybody read that song book called the Book of Psalms? And when you read through that song book, those 150 chapters, you read occasionally in those chapters the word Selah. Has anybody read that? At the close of a chapter or a verse, Selah. It means pause. It's a musical notation that means silence. Pause here. In other words, the music has been playing, the notes have been rising and falling, the melody has been in process, but now I hit this particular place where there is this pause, and in the stillness, one reflects on what just happened, the sound that was just made, and the words that were just spoken. And so I must have moments in my life that are designed to create reflective thinking, where I pause for just a moment and I consider things that have happened, making them applicable in my moment. But now, reflection needs not just pause. Reflection needs not just a quiet moment or a still moment. Reflection is something that happens at a transitional moment. Reflection usually occurs where there is something that is passing from one phase unto the next. Have you ever heard someone say, sitting down in the evening in the Lazy Boy and kicking out the footstool? Don't tell me you don't do it. You do. Sit down in the evening in the Lazy Boy and kick out the footstool, and you reflect on the day's events. What's happening is you're in the transition from the day to the night. And at the end of the day becomes a reflective moment. And in those few still moments, you reflect over the events of the day. You ponder about things that happened. Could I have done it this way? Could that have happened that way? How could I have said that? Or pondering a conversation and suddenly gleaning something significant from it. It happens at that transitional moment. Seasons are moments where that we change and we begin to reflect as you move from one season to the next, whether that is in the progression of age or whether that is in the seasons that are in the calendar or particular seasons in our careers or jobs. It's moving from one season to the next that we pause for just a moment, and here we reflect. It is at these transitional moments that we take notice of that which has been, that which has taken place, and squeeze out those moments. Now listen to me. We are at a transitional moment. This is the final day of 2023. We are soon to turn the calendar. It will be 2024 in just a matter of hours. Our calendar will change. We will write a different date on our checks. Everything will begin again in 2024. We are at that transitional moment. I know some of you have got things planned for tonight. Maybe you're going to ring in the new year with some type of activity, some type of party, some type of get-together. Maybe there be some kind of activity. You're hastening toward that moment. But here, this preacher on this Sunday morning, just hours from that transition, before you quickly turn the calendar, before you quickly look for 2024, at the end of 2023, we need to pause for just a moment and we need to reflect over the past year. We need to take just a moment and take inventory. We need not to charge ahead in the same course, in the same path, and in the same journey that we've been on, or we'll wind up in the same place in only a matter of few hours. Would you take just a moment with me? Would you hit pause? Can we not anticipate the turn of the calendar? And for just a moment, say, you know what? I need to do a little reflection. I need to look back at a year. I need to examine it very carefully. I need to see who I am, where I am, what I am, and what's taking place. And I can only do it in this moment of reflection. This is the 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a reflective chapter. It's a chapter where there is much pondering and consideration being given to a life that has been lived. It is here that the people say in our text this morning of Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 20, the harvest is past. Notice seasons now. The harvest is past. Summer is ended. Now notice the natural progression. Harvest is past. That was April to June. That was the wheat crop that has come and gone. Now summer has come. That was the summer fruits. That was the figs. That was the grapes and other fruits that were born in the orchard and the vineyards that all came to pass. Notice now the progression. Harvest is past. Summer is ended. Now we are on the brink in the change of another season. Winter is just ahead. Winter is just around the corner. Those months of dormancy, those months where things are still and quiet, those months where fruit is not on the vine and doesn't bear on the branch, those months where there is coldness and the body shivers under the weight of that cold, winter is just ahead, and it's here that the people pause for just a moment and they take reflection as they move into a new season of their life. But for Israel, it was not a natural winter that was coming. Rather, it was natural disaster that was on the horizon. Notice what Jeremiah says in this 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. He talks about the snorting of his horses that are heard from Dan, and the whole land trembling at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones, for they are come and they devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. They said, Babylon is on the horizon. I hear the snorting of the horses, the neighing of the horses. I hear the beat of the horses' hooves. They were on their verge of complete and total captivity. They had another winter coming. It was not a natural winter, but it was a spiritual winter that was coming. And they come to the conclusion, we are not saved. Summer has passed and harvest has passed, but we are not saved. The problem with Israel in their reflection is simply this, that when they said we are not saved, they did not use the word saved in the sense of salvation. They did not use the word in the sense of their soul being redeemed, restored, reconnected to God. When they used the word saved, they used it in its natural setting, that we have not been delivered from our perils. We have not been delivered from our enemies. Life has not changed. The enemy's still outside the walls. It still looks like we're going into captivity. There's no difference in our life. Harvest is past. Summer is ended. And there is no change in our physical surroundings. Understand that what Israel was reflecting on was really not as important as it needed to be, for they were looking only at their physical surroundings and not their spiritual surroundings. Can I say to this congregation on this Sunday morning that as we come to this transitional moment of moving from one year to the next year, as we move from one season to the next season, in this moment of reflection, it should not be about my physical surroundings. It ought to be about my spiritual surroundings. It ought to be about my soul. Sometimes we are more concerned about our economics than we are about our spiritual standing before God. We're more concerned about our physical environment than we are about our spiritual relationship with God. We can get bent out of all kinds of shapes and moved in all kinds of manner by all of the political upheaval and economic upheaval and financial upheaval, and we spend a lot of time focusing on those things. When I'm telling you at this hour of reflection, it's not about the money in my bank account. It's not about the groceries in my pantry. It's not about a change in my economics, but it's about a change in my soul and a change in my spirit. I'm at a transitional moment. Winter is upon us. There's coldness in the distance. There's dormancy there. And I must consider my soul in the hour that I'm standing right now. I must consider the value of my soul, the importance of my soul, my spiritual relationship, because that is more important than any of my physical environment. Understand, I may not have a lot in this present world, but if my soul's right with God, that's better than $1 million in the bank account. Come on now. Come on now. Oh, hear me. I might have the finest house, but if my soul's not right with Him, it makes little difference. I gotta have my soul right. I gotta have my heart right. I gotta have my mind right with God. That's what matters. That's what matters. That's what makes a difference. That's the reason why in the 8th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, in this transitional moment that Israel was in, moving from harvest to summer, and now in its natural progression to winter, the prophet Jeremiah moved under the inspiration of God, takes a moment in this transitional time to try to rivet the attention of a nation that was bent only on their physical survival, to direct their attention to what reflection really ought to be about. It's about my standing with God. It's about my relationship with the Lord. Notice as he writes in this 8th chapter, he first of all calls this nation to reflect not on their peril, not on what they don't have, to not reflect on the enemy outside the gate and the nearness of their destruction, but to reflect rather upon God and their relationship with God. He calls on them to consider their spiritual standing. He challenges them with the fact that they were backslidden. He writes to them in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 4. And he says, "Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return?" In other words, the Lord's asking some rhetorical questions. If someone falls, don't they get up? If they turn away, don't they turn back? That becomes the obvious response. If I fall, I get up. If I turn away, I turn back. The Lord goes on in verse 5 and says, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to seed. They refuse to return. Notice verse 6. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. He said, this nation, they have become backslidden. They have drifted away from God. But none has taken time to repent, and none has taken time to restore their fellowship with God. They are proceeding on as if their spiritual condition does not matter. Their spiritual state does not hold any consequences. He charges them in verse 7. He said, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times. The turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not. In other words, has anybody ever heard the statement, the sense God gave a goose? You can apply Pastor's translation, Jeremiah 8 and 7. He said, they don't have the sense God gave a goose. He said, the flocks of the air know good and well, if it's wintertime, get out of here. They know when to migrate. They know when to move. He said, even the animals know. But my people are not considering their condition, their environment, and they're not turning back. And so the prophet says, in this season, in this transition, harvest is past, summer is ended, winter is coming, we're transitioning now, we're moving to a new phase. Would you hit the pause button just a moment, Israel? Would you slow down for just a second and realize there's something more important than your bottom line? Would you realize there's something more important than what you hold in this temporal, physical world? There's a relationship with God. And if I've drifted away from Him, I can't stay that way. If I have fallen away from Him, I can't remain like that. If I have drifted away from the path of righteousness, I can't stay there. I gotta turn back. 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 I'm in transition. I've got to turn back. Got to be this reflection on my spiritual environment. And so as we come to the close of 2023, we're on the brink of 2024. Would you pause for just a moment before you hit your party tonight? Before you hit all of the excitement and all that you'll do and up to midnight? Would you pause for just a moment before you flip the calendar? Would you take just a little while and would you reflect on 2023, several years ago in a presidential debate, Ronald Reagan made popular the statement in his debate with President Jimmy Carter. He made popular the statement, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Politicians have taken that phrase and have used it again and again and again. The essence of the question is simply this: reflect, look back. And so may I borrow the phrase and apply it to us today. Are you more spiritual today than you were at the beginning of 2023? Should we pause for just a moment and reflect? Am I closer to God right now than I was a year ago? Has my love for God waxed cold? Has the flame of the Spirit gone out over the course of a year? Have I become lukewarm in my spirit? Has my ear become deaf and my ear and my spirit become hardened? Am I better off spiritually today
than I was 12 months ago. I'm at a moment of reflection now. Harvest is past. Summer is ended. I don't know what 24 is holding. It looks like winter to me. With the Middle East blowing up and with the economics the way they are, the financial markets the way that they're so volatile at the moment, with the unsteadiness of government, it looks like winter is on the horizon. But that's not my concern right now. As I reflect, my concern is, am I closer to God than I've ever been before? Am I praying more than I've ever prayed? Am I more into God than I've ever been before? Am I seeking Him more than I've ever sought Him before? Can you hit the pause button just a moment? Can we have an end of the year reflection? Am I walking with God as I ought to walk with Him? Reflect not just on a relationship with God. Jeremiah calls them to reflect on the sovereignty as well as the severity of God. He calls them in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse number 10. God speaks and says, therefore I will give their wives unto others. That's the sovereignty of God. He's in complete control. And that's the severity of God as He metes out judgment in their fields to them that shall inherit them. He says in verse number 13, I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. The leaf shall fade, and things that I have given them shall pass away from them. He said, I need you to consider this God relationship. I need you to take it serious. I need you to understand that God is sovereign, and He can do in our lives whatever He wants to do, and He can bring judgment when and where He wants upon our lives. God's not a toy. He's not a game. He's not a video arcade machine. He's not something I hold as a controller in my hand and pump the buttons furiously trying to play the game on the screen. God is my Creator. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He's my Master. And it's with Him that I have to do. And I need to pause at the end of the year and reflect. How do I view Him? Do I view Him as the supreme God that sits on the circumference of the earth, that's over everything, that's got all things in His hands, that's in control of everything? Or have I discounted God as nothing more than a religious myth, something of spiritual archaeology that's just merely gleaned from history, but it's not applicable to us today? May I say to you today, my God is in heaven, and He hath done whatsoever He pleases. I will praise Him. I will worship Him. I will exalt Him. I cannot go on as if He doesn't exist. I cannot go on as if He's not real. I cannot go on as if I'll never stand in judgment before Him. I must pause for a moment and understand my reflection upon God. I must understand it. But not only does He call them for the severity of God and the sovereignty of God, He speaks to them concerning the salve of God. He tells them in verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Gilead was the place where soothing salve came from. It was noted for the balm that was found there that could ease pain, ointments that could bring relief. If you said Gilead, it was synonymous with salve, with balm. And so Jeremiah is asking a rhetorical question. Is there no balm in Gilead? In other words, just as you expect to find balm in Gilead, you ought to expect to find God in Zion. You ought to expect, when you say God, you say healing. When you say God, you say restoration. Just like you say Gilead, you say salve. You say healing. You say comfort. When you say God, you say restoration. You say renewal. You say power. You say revival. He said, I want you to know God's hand is not shortened and His ear is not heavy. There's still a God that's able to apply the remedy to our life. and bring salve to our spirit and our soul. You ought to consider there is no healing outside of God. I said there is no healing. You can't get your mind healed outside of God. You can't get your emotions healed outside of God. You can't get your spirit healed outside of God. He's the only one that can heal my mind, heal my spirit, and heal my soul. Somebody hit the pause button. We're in a transitional moment. Winter is on the horizon. I need to reflect. God is the only source of my healing. It's the only place that I can go. I'll never find it. I'll never find it in any other place. Only in God. For verse 19 says, behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Oh friend, God's still on the throne. Come on now. I don't care what the headlines say. God's still on the throne. Come on, I don't care what the news commentators say. God's still on the throne. He's still in His church. He's still got plans and purposes. Somebody need to pause for just a moment and reflect. You see, in reflection, we meander through our yesterdays. And yet reflection should not be reduced to merely meandering through the rubble of yesterday and finding no value. Reflection must cause me to glean. It must cause me to glean out of those moments and apply it to my present. Because reflection that does not produce repentance will always bring resentment. This is where Israel found herself. Harvest is past. Summer is ended, and we are not saved. And they pointed their finger at God and said, it's all because of you. It's all because you failed us. It's all because you haven't done for us what you're supposed to do. We're in this horrible, horrific moment because God has not come through. Their reflection didn't produce repentance. Therefore, it brought about resentment. And resentment will always bring about bitterness toward God. I'm afraid that's where many people are finding themselves. They reflect on yesterday, and they've only come to the conclusion, God didn't answer this, and God didn't provide that, and God left me in this mess, and He left the enemy outside the gates, and I hear the horse's hooves in the distance, and it's barreling down on me, and if God would do this, and God would do that, and so it's only produced resentment. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me today, that reflection should not produce resentment. It ought to bring us to repentance, because reflection is the diagnosis that determines the remedy that needs to be applied to my heart. Because when I reflect, I see I'm not as close to God as I'm supposed to be. And I see that I've treated God like a toy. And I see that I've ignored the healing remedies that He had liked to provide. But in my reflection, it brings me to this moment where I fall on my knees before God and say, God, I'm so sorry. Forgive me of pushing you out of my life. Forgive me of ignoring you. Forgive me of straying so far. Forgive me, oh God, of seeking other remedies in my life but not applying you. Forgive me, oh God, when I look back, I see that I've grown so distant and so cold. And in this moment of transition, winter's just ahead. If I need anything, God, I gotta have you. I need you. I don't know what the road is ahead. I don't know the winding and the bendings, and I don't know the shape of the path that I'll travel, but God, I put my hand in your hand, and I'm believing, God, that you're going to lead me and guide me, and you're going to order must have reflection ought to bring repentance. And when repentance comes, it brings refreshment and revival and renewal to our spirit. Somebody lift your hands to heaven. Would you just tilt your face toward the Lord? Somebody hit the pause button for just a moment now. Quit rushing toward the new year. Pause for just a moment with me. Pause for just a second in the environment where we stand right now. Would you pause for just a moment? Would you reflect? Would you consider God? Would you consider a relationship with Him? Would you consider fellowship with Him? Would you consider Him as the source of your healing? Would you stand with me all across the building? The New Testament closes with just a brief few verses concerning a woman by the name of Jezebel. We know her from the Old Testament, the Queen Jezebel. But this woman who was identified as Jezebel was a woman who had given herself and her life into the control of demonic spirits and was seeking to destroy anything that was godlike. Scripture says that God gave Jezebel a space for repentance. In other words, He created a transitional moment in Jezebel's life. He created a pause. Reflect for just a moment. No matter how demonic she was, how evil she was, God said, if she will reflect on where she's been and what she's done and will come to repentance, I'll turn her life around. But Jezebel never took advantage of the space that was given to her. She refuses to reflect on life. Therefore, she never came to repentance. The 21st chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus tells us the story. A parable He gives of a landowner that had two sons. He comes to one son and He says, will you go to my vineyard and will you work? And the son very quickly, rapidly responded and said, yes, I'll go. I'll go work in your vineyard. But he didn't. He never went. But he went to the next boy and he said, son, will you go? Will you go to the vineyard and will you work? And he looked at his dad and said, no, I won't go. I will not go to your vineyard and I will not work. And yet Scripture tells us in that 21st chapter of the book of Matthew that somewhere after answering, I will not, he afterward repented and went. Evidently, that boy must have paused at the close of the day. He must have sat down at the transition from day to night. That moment where it swept from one moment to the next. And he must have reflected for just a little while and said, that's not right. I shouldn't have talked to my dad like that. I shouldn't have had that spirit. I shouldn't have had that attitude. I shouldn't have responded like that. And his reflection brought him to repentance. And he came to his father and he said, I'm sorry. I told you I wouldn't go, but I've reflected. I've repented. And now I'll go to the field. Hear me today. This is the moment of reflection. God is calling on us. His vineyard is waiting. His harvest is standing ready. And He needs somebody that's reflected, that's repented, that's ready for the revival that is ahead. Would you lift your voice and your hand with me one more time? And would you tilt your face toward the Lord again? And would you begin to call out unto Him in this moment, this hour that we're standing right now? Would you let the Lord begin to speak to your heart? Would you let Him begin to talk to your soul? Would you let Him begin to visit with your mind right now for just a little while across this building? Would you let Him begin to bring to your mind reflections of yesterday, things that I could change, ways that I could amend. Let it bring us to that point where we fall in repentance before Him, because revival is awaiting, harvest is on the horizon, and He's calling for us right now. While eyes are closed and people are praying all over this building, on this Sunday morning we are standing at a moment of reflection. We're standing in a moment where God's asking us, am I where I ought to be? Am I doing what I ought to be doing for God? Am I as close to Him as I need to be? Am I making Him the priority that He needs to be made in my life? If you feel that drawing of God upon your life, that hunger to renew that relationship at the beginning of this new year, would you just make your way down that aisle toward this altar? And would you stand, kneel, whatever you might be comfortable with? And would you let your reflection just bring you for just a moment to that place where you say, God, sorry. I'm sorry for the things I've done. I'm sorry for the distance I've created. I'm sorry for the void that I've made. God, I'm coming now. You have the salve. You have the healing. You have the restoration. You have the renewal. You have the power. God, winter is looming. It's coming. It's on all sides of us right now. God, I don't want to go into the next season of life without knowing that my relationship with You is right. My relationship with You is where it ought to be. That's it now. All across this building, this room, at this altar today, this place of prayer, there's a place here for you just to pour your heart out at this close of the year, this transitional moment. We're between seasons. God's calling us now. He's calling us now. He's calling us now. Have you considered Him? Have you considered Him? Have you considered Him? That's it, all across the sanctuary, all over this building. Would you just begin to pour it out before the Lord now? Would you let your heart begin to cry before Him in the name of the Lord Jesus? Let it bring us to that place of repentance and ultimately to the place of renewal, refreshing and reviving. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I can't turn the calendar tonight. I can't turn the page until I know everything's right. Until I know everything's right. I can't transition, God. Can't move on. Can't go to another season.
You have been listening to an audio sermon from Apostolic Worship Center located in Norman, Oklahoma. We are located at 3221 North Porter Avenue, Norman, Oklahoma, 73071. Our service times are Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., and we also have various ministries happening on Wednesday night. For more information, visit our website, www.awcnorman.com. You can call us at 405-329-1285. Or email us at info@awcnorman.com. We hope that this recording has been a blessing to you.